You're listening to Public Radio from Western Michigan University, WMUK 102.1 FM. I'm Earlene McMichael. For the month of February, I'll be bringing you interviews with people making a difference in the Kalamazoo area, both names you might know and some you might not. Today, I chat with Donna Odom, an Underground Railroad scholar whose local organization devoted to documenting the history and contributions of African Americans in Southwest Michigan evolved into a group focusing on racial healing and equity. That group is called the Society of History and Racial Equity, known as SHARE for short. Donna Odom is executive director since the name change in 2015. Welcome back to WMUK, Donna.
Hi, thank you.
What three adjectives would you use to describe yourself?
Focused, passionate, and I think optimistic.
Optimistic. If you had to sum up your life's work in one sentence, what would it be?
My life work has been to try and bring to the attention of the public the history and contributions of African Americans and, you know, what a difference it's made in all of our lives.
Now, that's a great segue for where I'm going to go next. You used to coordinate history programs and special projects for the Kalamazoo Valley Museum for close to, I think, about 16 years before retiring in 2010. You would often do summer programs for youth devoted to the Underground Railroad. Southwest Michigan has roots tied to that.
Yeah, I started with that, doing a project for the museum, and I realized what a rich history we had, you know, not just a general African-American history, but the fact that we had such an important part in the Underground Railroad. My emphasis when I look at that history is the people who self-emancipated, you know, those who left the South and came here on their own, but were helped along the way by, you know, different people, both black and white.
What are some of the stops on the Underground Railroad that are in Southwest Michigan?
In Battle Creek, of course, there was what they called a station, but a safe house, and that was run by Erastus Hussey. Then there was a place in Schoolcraft that was run by Nathan Thomas, and it's called the Nathan Thomas House. Those were the two main ones. We also found a connection with Henry Montague, which most people didn't know about. He ended up being the director of the psychiatric hospital here, a state hospital, but he was also a very active abolitionist. And he's purported to have been the one who brought the first African-Americans through.
And all of those stops on the Underground Railroad were run by white individuals, is that correct?
Yeah, but we also have done a little bit of work that shows that Henry Shepherd, who was also in Southwest Michigan, trying to think of the area now, but anyway, he also helped some folks as they came through. And of course, Henry Bibb was more in the east of Michigan. But yeah, there were a lot of African-American folks, and we don't always know about them because, and you know, they just weren't as famous as some of the others. But in Cassopolis, I think there were a few as well. So it's hard to know some of them. But yeah, most of them were Quakers. And of course, Erastus Hussey was a Quaker as well.
So when we talk about the Underground Railroad extends all the way to Canada, helping escaping enslaved persons make their way there.
Right.
The Underground Railroad, though, did it not also help people to become settled in the areas in which they actually landed in?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Okay.
That's the line that kind of blends into vigilance committees, what were called vigilance committees. And these were people who worked with the anti-slavery movement and who, you know, once folks, for example, when someone would come into Battle Creek, or Detroit or wherever, they would be there to help them find work and to get them settled, you know, have a place for them to stay and that sort of thing.
Abolitionist Sojourner Truth, who herself fled slavery, lived in Battle Creek. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Right. right. Yeah, Sojourner Truth did spend some time in Battle Creek. And as a matter of fact, I mentioned Henry Montague. She was a friend of Henry Montague and his wife, Abigail. And she stayed at their house a few times when she was kind of back and forth. She did, of course, do a lot of speaking of, you know, anti-slavery talks and that kind of thing. So you do often hear her name when you talk about Battle Creek and you talk about the Underground Railroad.
People will hear more about what you have to say in regards to the Underground Railroad when you are featured in a live interview on February 12th at 7 p.m. on the website of the City of Portage. It's also going to stream on their Facebook page. You're listening to a conversation with Underground Railroad scholar Donna Odom, who's been a big champion for racial equity in African-American local history in the Kalamazoo area. She is retiring as executive director of the Society of History and Racial Equity. Her organization helps put on the annual Summit on Racism. Let's return to when you retired in 2010 from the Kalamazoo Valley Museum. And that's if you want to call it that, because you've not been retired. But anyway, and boy, did you kind of leave with a bang. You know, a major traveling exhibit about race came to the museum at that time, stayed for, I think, about 2 months or so. But after both the exhibit and you left the museum and retired, you wanted to keep the conversation going, and you helped start a community-wide book club that met in public spaces so people can talk about issues surrounding race with the goal of promoting racial healing. And I was actually one of the charter members of that, just in full disclosure. It now operates, I believe, in partnership with SHARE at the Kalamazoo Public Library. Is that still correct?
That's right.
What's your proudest moments of that particular project?
I think when we were able to bring Tom DeWolf and Sharon here to promote their book.
Thomas Norman DeWolf wrote a book and did a documentary on his family's role in the slave trade. He later partnered with an African-American woman, Sharon Leslie Morgan. Together, they did a book gather at the table, The Healing Journey of a Daughter of Slavery and a Son of the Slave Trade.
We decided that, you know, we would bring the film, Traces of the Trade, here. And Tom DeWolf had written the companion book, Inheriting the Trade. And so when we brought them then later with the book that they wrote together, he and Sharon Morgan, Gather at the Table, you know, those books really were kind of the foundation of the racial healing initiative that we started with the organization. So I think, you know, yeah, the proudest moment, I think, is bringing them and the kind of influence they had on what we continue to do.
That particular book that Thomas DeWolf wrote had to do with his family kind of coming to terms with being slaveholders.
What it did was depict what the family did with the film and, you know, and the resulting effect on him as a person. His family had been part of a slave, you know, had been descendants or are descendants of a slave trading family, one of the, you know, largest in history. And it was something that they decided that they would own, you know, that they would trace the triangular route that, that you know, was involved in the slave trade and visit those places and, you know, really dig into their past and kind of reconcile themselves to, you know, what their history was. And so his book, you know, just kind of talks about his journey. And then he became a member of Coming to the Table, which is an organization that brings descendants of slaveholders and descendants of the enslaved. And so that from that, he partnered up with Sharon Morgan to write Gather at the Table.
The original group that you personally started that researched local Black history was called the Southwest Michigan Black Heritage Society. You started that in 2003, and then that then became the Society for History and Racial Equity. You understood that you needed to kind of expand the focus of that group to racial healing. Why is that so important? And obviously it continues to still be because your organization now helps put on the Summit on Racism every year.
Right. You know, there there was no question, as we started, that there was no way to talk about African-American history without talking about, the discrimination and the years of, discrimination that we had dealt with here. And we wanted to bring to the fore the kinds of things that people dealt with right here in Southwest Michigan, and of course, in the country as a whole. And after the race exhibit, we really were inspired to do that. As, you know, we dug into discussions and all of that, and we were really inspired by the fact that people were so anxious to find out more about it. We started just the two-year racial healing initiative and had the workshops and the conversations and all of that. And then we realized there really is a hunger for this. There's a need for this. And so we decided to make that part of our mission. And so that's how we, evolved into an organization with a dual mission.
Let's talk a little bit about how your group operates. When I look at the board, it's a racially mixed board. You have people who are white, you have people who are black. That seems to send a message about what you feel is necessary to have racial healing in America. What
right.
is that message?
Yeah, that's definitely part of our message. Everything we do, we try and make it that way. And, the four principles that our organization is based on, one of them is making connections. And those connections across racial barriers are, what will help us heal. We feel that way anyway, and we can't do it without each other. Now, it doesn't mean that, there aren't times when we need to be within our own group to work out some of our particular concerns and problems, but without working together, there really can be very little healing.
I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the different organizations that you've been involved with so people can kind of fully appreciate your background. You've been a past board member of the Kalamazoo County Historical Society, the Historical Society of Michigan, and the Michigan Oral History Association. Right now, you serve on the Michigan Underground Railroad Commission. You've been a recipient of the YWCA Women of Achievement Award. That was in 2018. And now, more recently, a really great honor that you received. This was from AARP. You have been announced as a 2021 Purpose Prize Fellow. That actually comes with a little small financial award, but more importantly, it apparently is the only national award that celebrates people 50 and over who are using their knowledge and life experience to solve tough social problems. Wow. What a way to go out. You are retiring from your position as executive director of SHARE. You guys are currently looking for an executive director. What's next for Donna Odom? Because I don't believe that you're retired. I believe you're going to do something else. So what's next for Donna?
I will probably continue to, if anybody wants to hear what I have to say, do some, speaking and short-term special projects, that sort of thing. I don't intend to sit on my hands, that's for sure. For me, it was really important to bring new ideas and new perspectives into the organization, and I know that it's important for those of us who've had some experiences and have lived through a lot of things to kind of step aside and let some of the younger people come in and just take things to a higher level. I hope that that's what will happen anyway.
In closing, what are your thoughts about where we are as a nation in terms of race relations right now? It feels a little tense, after the assault on the U.S. Capitol. What are your thoughts as to where we are as a nation right now in terms of race and where we are moving forward?
I think we're at a real turning point, and we, of course, have been at that kind of turning point in the past, obviously with the civil rights movement and that sort of thing. But obviously, at the beginning of the 2020, when we, COVID hit and the George Floyd incident took, prominence in the news, and for maybe the first time for many people, they could see, they could see exactly what has been going on in the African-American community. And it really opened a lot of eyes. You saw those demonstrations. Those demonstrations were not just black people out there. There were white people out there. There was everybody out there. And I know with our organization, we saw a real change with people coming to us and saying, we want to learn more. We want to know more. We want to do something. That was very heartening and encouraging to me. And I hope that that doesn't stop. We will have points, as we always have, where we, we'll end up two steps back. But I think this is a point where we can really make a lot of progress, and we need to seize the day. And I think a lot of folks are out there doing that, and that is really exciting to me.
Donna Odom, thank you so much for joining us today on WMUK, and best wishes as you move forward with your new plans.
Thank you. I appreciate it.